Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The John Heyman Report is sponsored by Sport Clips. It's a new season. All stylists are clean certified and guy smart by Rikatina Mercedes-Benz of Edison and locally by BetMGM. Believe in your game. Download the app and make a bet today. John, how are you?
What's I'm up, good. Man? How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right.
Doing all right. Number one, let me start here. The other day, the commissioner of baseball, what a fine man he is, made a comment about how much the owners and really everybody loves the expanded playoffs. Is this something that's going to happen in 2021? And it has to look different than what we have now, because what we have now is absurd. It's fine for a 60-game season, whatever, but this format, obviously, any sane mind knows, cannot work in a 162-game season. What say you, John?
Well, you know, I didn't hear those comments. I did see them on Twitter. I'm in agreement with you guys that 16 teams is too many to play 162 games and only eliminate 14 bad teams. I don't think that's right. You know, I'm old. I'm a traditionalist, I guess, in many respects. I mean, I do like the celebrations. There are certain things I like on the new side, but 16 I think is too many. The proposal had been 14, so you know, I could live with that because I don't think you often get too many losing teams in the playoffs at 14. We're going to get losing teams this year, I think. We'll see how it finishes, but I think as of today, we certainly have at least 500 teams that make it with eight teams in each league. And I think only winning teams should be in the playoffs. That's my opinion.
Well, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, for a 162-game season, I mean, why are you playing 162 games? You know, if you're going to have eight teams in the playoffs, then cut it down. Take 40 games, 45 games off the schedule, because it's absolutely absurd to play that many games if you're going to have 16 playoff teams, John.
You know, I'm with you guys. It's too many. I think it's too many. I work at MLB. I don't think I'll be hearing from them. They've been good about that, but I'm with you guys on this one.
But John, I have what I think is I'm biased because it's my idea. I have a perfect compromise to this whole freaking thing. Okay.
Okay.
Not ideal, but it's a compromise. That's why it's called a compromise. Seven playoff teams. Okay.
Yeah.
Seven in each league. If you win the division, you go right to the divisional series. You take the four wild card teams and you have them play each other. One versus four, two versus three, one single game. Two winners face each other. It's kind of like taking the wild card game
that
and just doubling
bad.
It.
You know what?
That's actually
that isn't
pretty good.
Bad.
That's not terrible.
That's not bad. Would you like Manfred's phone number?
Yeah. Oh, yes, I would, actually. Yes. Yes.
By the way, you know, John, too, we had Joe Torre on the other day, and Joe Torre kind of alluded to that they are really thinking about keeping this extra inning rule in place. He did kind of allude to that on our show.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what? I don't know. That surprises me. I am actually not against the extra inning rule. I like those. Those games have been very exciting.
It's
it doesn't
happen.
Bother me.
You know what? It's going to happen.
I don't know.
So what am I supposed
they
to do?
They don't ask like, me. Don't, I mean, my opinion.
I don't know. I mean, what are you gonna,
my
look,
opinion does not count with them. They
it
don't.
Just, it just
to
when Torrey said that the other day. That's the first time because I said it just to throw it out there for
Joe,
this year. I had no thinking it was going to go forward, but it sounds it.
But you know what else Joe Torre also said that I thought was really interesting about that that he was in favor of this like 15 years ago.
No, I know that.
So this is something that he's always liked. I disagree with him, but he's not new to it. He's always liked it. So maybe he's just biased towards, hey, I hope that this stays, you know?
Maybe.
Yeah, it sounds like he was giving you the opinion of what he thinks will happen, though. So
that's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me. So he's pretty accurate. He's in the office. I guess nobody's in the office today these days, but before the pandemic, he was in the office. So his information is probably good. I actually like that rule. I don't like some of the other rules that we've been doing. I would like to see no DH in the National League. I think I'm going to lose on that one. You know, I don't love seven inning games. I feel like I'm gonna lose.
Torrey was even in favor of that.
I think I'm gonna lose on that one. I see momentum. I feel
really?
It. I'm feeling a momentum for the seven inning doubleheader. I'm not in favor of that.
So we really are looking at a dramatic change in the rules of baseball going forward. I mean, let's be honest. I mean,
what? If there are 16 teams, and that's the dramatic one to me. The other ones. I mean, I guess
well,
if you're a National League guy,
you can start the extra innings with a guy on second base.
That's more dramatic.
But what percentage of games get into extra innings? We're talking about 10% of the games.
Well, no, but I mean, it is. You don't call that dramatic?
That's dramatic, but a very small number of games. I mean, the 16 teams changes the whole equation for the entire season.
Well, you know what's funny, though?
That, to me, is more dramatic.
But, John, if they changed it the way I described it, which is just kind of doubling up the wild card game,
I don't
think it changes the game that dramatically. Because what it does for guys like Joe and I is it reminds us how important winning the division means. And that's what I loved about the second wild card.
Yep.
Right. You got to keep it important. If you lose the importance of winning the division, the MLB regular season goes the way of the NHL and the NBA, and you don't want that to happen.
And I want to see teams trying. If you're a team like the Yankees.
Too many games, too long a season for that.
If you're a team like the Yankees, with eight teams getting in, you know you're in at the beginning.
Right.
I mean, not that the Yankees aren't going to try. They're not that tight, but there are going to be teams that are really not going to put in an incredible effort in the winter.
I'll tell you something else. I'm actually talking myself into this new playoff idea. I actually like it better. Here's why.
Yeah,
it means
good.
Winning the division is even more important than it was last year. Because now if you're the Yankees, you have to avoid two single elimination games by winning your division. You know what I mean? Like winning the division becomes even bigger, which is exactly what I'm looking for as a baseball fan.
Yeah, if you get that wild card, you're not very good shape. You got a one out of four chance to get into the playoff with four teams, where you have another one out of four chance, giving you a one out of 16 chance. You're basically starting again. When you start the season, you have a one out of 15 chance to make the World Series. If you're a wild card, you have a one out of four chance to even move to the round with the division winners.
Win
your
division.
When you get there, you have another one out of four.
Too bad. Win your division. That's my slogan.
Actually decreased. Have you thought
of
that?
That's right. I'm creating a T-shirt. Quit crying. Win your division.
All right, but if you know in your system you're a wild card winner, you've actually gone backward from the start of the season because you had a 1 out of 15 chance at the start of the season.
Well,
once you're a wild card
your
team,
division.
Then you'd have a 1 out of 16 chance. It's just interesting to note. I don't dislike your thought. I think that's good. I want to avoid eight games. I feel there is eight teams. I feel there's a momentum toward that, and I'm a traditionalist. You know, basketball and hockey are gotten away with it for decades, right? And I don't really watch the regular season in basketball and hockey. I never watch at all, so that doesn't count.
How about tonight? Islanders game six, big win. They got to win tonight.
Never watch any. I'm sorry.
You're from
Long
Island.
The last time I watched hockey,
come on, you don't have a Dennis Potvin jersey.
Yeah, exactly.
Somewhere?
Trottier and
right there. You go. Look at you. Come on.
Hey, I go back to the
game. Come on, you a big Clark Gillies guy. Who are you kidding?
Before that, I was a Gilbert Hatfield. Field and Rattel.
Wait a minute. Well, hold on a minute. So you abandoned the Rangers for the Islanders? Is that what you did?
No, but I remember the Islanders.
Oh, I see.
I was a Rangers guy. But I don't know if Evan remembers this. At Lawrence High School, we had some of those Rangers in because they were training in Long Beach at that time, and many of them lived in Atlantic Beach. You may not have
remembered. What I remember, and I'm still bitter about this, what I remember is they actually canceled class to watch that stupid parade in 1994.
Wow,
and what
young.
Ticked me off, as I said to my teacher, I said, where is our school located? And she said, what do you mean? I said, it's on Long Island. Is that where we are? She said, yes. I said, then why are you forcing, why are you indoctrinating us with this garbage? Why are you doing that? And she said, I'm sorry. I thought everybody would love it. I said, well, guess what? I don't love it. I mean, yeah. I don't want to watch this. No offense, Joe. I'm sure you had a great time, and you should.
I wasn't
for you.
At the parade, but.
Well, but you know what I mean. That was for you. That wasn't for us. And they put that on our. I was not happy about that.
The parade was very bittersweet for the aspect that the Nick disaster happened right around
that's,
that.
That's true. Yeah.
The winner of the poll of misery, but.
Well, no, it was not the winner. That was 93. That was the year before.
Oh, okay. I can't keep track. There's been
don't even try.
Yeah, it's so much misery for you. It's hard to keep track.
There's
but
been a lot
Evan,
of misery.
I have to congratulate you. I obviously made the decision to. To get out of school. It clearly wasn't for you.
Yes. Unfortunately, I was unable to quit the fourth grade, but I was not happy with what was going on. I'll tell you that.
Were you at number five or number six?
Number six, baby.
Oh, okay. I was number five. All right.
Number six, by the way. Number six school is what John is referring to. It was a school in Woodmere, New York. I don't think it exists anymore.
Is that
I think
right?
The school has been completely
shut down. I know number
down.
Five is now a Hebrew school. I don't know about number six. I followed number five, but I don't know what happened in number six.
Years ago, I was at number six. I organized a Twitter baseball game there, and it was a dilapidated building. Like, they just let it
number
go.
Six?
And it was kind of sad. I'm not going to lie to you.
That's sad. I'm very sorry. We had Little League there. It was very nice. I'm sorry.
That was great.
That.
It was great. Anyhow.
I'm sorry. But you were correct. The Islanders should have been the team, but I was a Ranger fan back to the Rattel.
Okay. All right. The gag line. The gag line.
The gag line, exactly.
There you go. Now who's the MVP in the American League, John?
Abreu. Wait.
It's not Trump? Not Trump. It's not Trump. I don't think
is
Trump's the MVP.
It's definitely not Trump, but that's another
story. I know. It's not Don.
Story.
His war isn't high enough. You think it's Abreu? Yeah,
Trout.
You know,
is it Trout?
Speaking of Trump, by the way, guys, I got to show you the letter I got from him once.
He sent you a letter,
I can't do it
John?
On the radio.
It cannot,
but,
hey, John, it cannot have been recently, John.
No. I was at a PGA in Wisconsin 20 years ago, and I wrote a column on Mickelson, and I threw in a rip of Trump into the middle of it couple times. It wasn't political at the time, and
right.
We know he was a Democrat at the time anyway, so please don't get on me. In any case, I ripped the guy because he was kind of sucking up to Mickelson, and he cuts out the Newsday, circles it, and he writes in there, you know this is a total fabrication, John. You are a major loser. And I just found it the other
That's
day.
That's pretty cool. You got to hang that up.
Called you a major loser, John?
That's kind of cool, actually.
Other people are claiming it wasn't really from him, but you could see the signature plus the major loser. That made it clear that it was from him. So I was pretty excited.
Very cool. Hang
anyway.
Up.
You were covering golf 20 years ago?
I was a general
golf?
Columnist, believe it. I was.
Really?
I could actually write back then. Now I'm just starting.
You don't play golf at all, though, right?
I did at one time. I haven't played. It's too time consuming. You know, I can't. You know, the Mets trade for second baseman. I can't be on the eighth hole. You know,
you have no interest in the U.S. Open at Wingfoot.
I did
right
cover
now.
One up in Westchester, and I covered one in New Jersey. I think it was at Wingfoot. Yeah. One I covered, Mickelson had a 2-stroke lead, and he. In the final hole, and he went for it on the first
yes.
drive on the 18 on the drive, not the
and wound
drive.
Up not winning.
Yeah,
which
was
I didn't believe he's finished second six times at the U.S. Open. I think it's six.
Yeah, like Trump, I do like Mickelson. I am.
By the way, Phil started out. Let me just say this. Speaking of Phil, started out birdie, and then went 3 straight bogeys.
Oh yeah, I liked him. He was great to cover. He was great for us, and I liked him just like Trump. Well, I didn't suck up to him just badly as Trump did. But anyway,
I understand.
Off of that, what were we talking? Oh, Abreu is my AL MVP pick. Why?
Right.
Where are you guys on that?
Well, I said LeMahieu. I mean, I just threw it out there.
Oh, well, yeah. He's been fantastic as well.
It was funny because Joe brought it up. Joe mentioned, you know, DJ may be the MVP. And I said, look, honestly, it's been such a weird season, especially not playing the other divisions, that just off the top of my head, without even looking at stats, Nelson Cruz jumped out of me for the kind of year he's had with the Twins.
Yeah.
And then we pulled up the numbers, and they're very close. You know, Abreu is leading in WAR, which I know you're a huge fan of.
Huge.
DJ is right up there in OPS, which I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah.
But they're very, very close. The one thing that I thought could hurt Abreu, but maybe not, is the fact that Tim Anderson is having another monster season on the White Sox, that Luis Robert's had a very good year, that maybe that could take some votes away from him, but it's close.
Luke Voit with the kind of year Luke Voit has had.
Yeah, that's what I got. I tweeted that Abreu should be the MVP. I don't have that vote. I have the NL Cy Young, as you guys know. So I don't have that vote, so I can comment all I want on this. But Abreu, I don't think that we split votes. I don't think that bothers anybody. If you have to vote three guys from the same team, 1, 2, 3, I don't think anybody minds. You pick whoever you think is the most valuable. And right now I'd go with Abreu, but Cruz is a good choice. The pushback that I got was mostly Voit, but I think that has to do with the fact that my constituency, people who are following me on Twitter, are mostly from, or many of them are from New York. And then I did get some people with Trout, that he's got the highest, runs created plus and OPS plus. He's got all the new stats on his side. But, you know, I am old school. I'd rather have a guy on the winning team, unless Trout's hitting 400.
Did they make up stats for Trout just so that he can win the MVP?
The guy's an incredible player. He's the best player in baseball.
John,
that's not the point.
He's fantastic, but I've always, I'm not a huge fan of WAR, obviously, but one thing that we do is we mention it. We don't ignore the existence of it. And Mike Trout is 48th in the American League, or in baseball, in WAR.
That's the problem with WAR. There's one WAR where he's high, and there's another WAR where he's low. So that's another issue.
That's a problem with the stat.
High and low.
Yeah, there's at least RBI, you're in the same spot in any RBI list. You know what?
If there's more than one WAR, that's a problem. Let's be honest about it.
I don't mind. They emphasize different stats, and they're both useful. And in any case, Trout isn't that far above Cruz or LeMahieu or Abreu that he should be above them in MVP. I mean, his team has been a disaster this year. So to me, I still count. It is called most valuable. The history of it has been who's helped their team win, and Abreu. And I count the fact that Abreu is the leader of that team, too. I'm not there all the time, but having been around somewhat in spring training and other times, he is quite a
leader. Can I just say for the record, Joe, you remember this. I wanted this guy about 8 years ago.
By the way, Daniel Berger just missed chipping in from just off the
fringe. Who did?
Daniel Murphy.
Daniel Berger.
Oh, Daniel Berger. That's my guy.
Do you have money on Daniel Berger,
yes,
too?
Yes. You do, right? I'm with you on Berg.
He's plus one. He's one over right now, bro. He's one over. You know, Justin Thomas is in the clubhouse. He shot a 65. He's 5 under.
Yeah, no, I know that part. Yeah.
You know that. No. Okay. Sorry, John. We just
watched the US Open. If it's about Tiger or Phil, I'll know. At this point, I'm not really following it.
So. No, I understand.
John, what are your thoughts on how you would handle, because we've all started to give this thought when it was announced that there are not going to be any off days. Obviously, the best of three, there's no off days. That's fine. But the best of five and the best of seven LCSs will feature no off days. How do you think that's going to affect teams, especially because we don't see guys pitch on short rest for the most part? You may have to use guys out of your bullpen 4 or 5 days in a row. Give me your thoughts on the impact we're going to see from that this year.
Yeah, I think that's actually a positive. I mean, this is one thing that's not going to last because it won't be neutral.
What's the positive?
Playoffs. So I think that's a positive, and I think you're going to have pitching depth to win. So, I mean, I think it favors, off the top of my head, I'd say it favors the Dodgers and the Rays, teams that have that pitching depth. We've seen teams win the World Series before your time, Evan, but Minnesota Twins had 2 starting pitchers, and that was it. 1 year was at 87 or 91. I don't know. They went to Les Straker for number 3. They won the World Series like that. And we've seen other teams.
Well, look at the Nationals last year. How many starting pitchers did they have?
Well, they had, at least 3,
they
right?
Basically 4.
That's
three
my
guys.
Point.
4. 3 guys, really.
Yeah. Well, they had 4, right? They had depth. The Nationals, you're talking about.
No, that's not depth. You're now talking about 5 guys in a rotation. So how is that depth?
Well, compared to the teams that I've seen win World Series with 2 guys.
I understand that.
Yeah,
that's
not bad. But I do
look, I mean, the Giants in 1912 are throwing Christy Mathewson and, Rube Marquard basically every single day. I get it. It's a long time ago.
And Colfax pitched on 2 days rest a bunch of times. But
Game
7
against
years,
the Twins.
Yeah, you have to give guys, at least 3 days rest.
You love that example, by the way. You did.
Rube Marquard.
Yeah, and Christy Mathewson. You love that.
Sandy, yeah, Game 7 against the Twins in 65, 2 days rest. Also, Jim Lonborg pitched on 2 days rest in Game 7 against Bob Gibson and the Cardinals in 67 and lost. Just want to point that out.
Well, is anybody going to pitch on 3 days rest, though? I mean, because it's such an uncommon thing now in baseball. Is anyone going to do it?
I think you will see that. I think you will see that on occasion. You won't see the two games. We will see that on occasion, but you're going to need.
Oh yeah, three. Yeah, yeah. Not 2 days. I'm not even suggesting that.
Nobody would ever do that anymore.
Yeah. Well, how about the fact that it's coming together for the Yankees now? Though this has been a big week in baseball in New York. Look at the Mets. You got to be happy with that, right?
Oh, you mean with the Cohen? With Cohen?
Yeah.
Not what they've done on the field.
No, are they still playing? I didn't even know.
By the way, let me ask you this question. How much did Jake hurt his Cy Young chances last night?
Yeah, I have that vote, so I don't want to talk too much about it. But, I mean, it's clear that right now he's behind. I mean,
I'm just asking. I don't know.
Yeah, right now Bauer and Darvish are ahead of him. And, I mean, I'm not giving you the final vote because I don't know it. But, you know, it's tough. Freed leads in WAR, even though he missed 10 days, and you've got Burns coming up. He's been great as well. But right now, Bauer and Darvish are ahead of Jake. But Jake's it's not over. I mean, the fact that he's got that injury makes it tough. But if he just threw his regular games, he's certainly got
a
shot.
It's probably over. It's probably. Yeah, I mean, unless he goes out and pitches, his last two starts are 15 scoreless innings, which could happen. He's Jake.
Yeah.
It's going to be, or, you know, maybe Bauer or Darvish just get bombed. You know, maybe they just have a terrible start, which is very possible.
Very possible.
We see what that can do to your ERA.
They haven't had one yet. But, of course, you know, looking at it, I've looked at it pretty carefully. Bauer's had, and he's fantastic. I'm not taking away from him, but he's had a lot of starts against some weak teams. Pittsburgh, you know, Milwaukee has not hit this year. You know, I mean, I guess people can talk about the fact Jake had four against Miami. They have
a playoff
record. They do.
Yeah,
have
they're a playoff
record.
Team. What are you talking about?
They're not a great hitting team, though. But
whatever.
Anyway, it's not over. I'm not counting him out. But you guys should be happy. You got $15 billion came into your coffers.
Oh. With that said, let me ask you about that with Steve Cohen. Do you see any way that Brody Van Wagenen survives the new ownership?
You know, I would say that more than half the time, the GM stays in for a year or more just to give it some stability and to give the guy a chance to see what he's like. So I do think there is a chance that he would stay. That said, you know, I mean, the fan reaction is probably not a positive. And, you know, I know that Steve Cohen has been around, so he can make more of a judgment. You know, someone coming in cold and buying a team, but Steve Cohen has been an 8% owner. He's now going to be up to a 95% owner, somewhere between 90 and 95, depending on whether the minority partners like Bill Maher and Scaramucci and those guys who have who put $20 million or
Bill
whatever
Maher,
into the
wait,
team.
Wait, hold on. I didn't notice. Bill Maher and Anthony Scaramucci.
Those are two of the limited partners. Now, they
the
may
Mets?
Sell because, you know, they were in there with the Wilpons and Katz, but maybe I think they know Cohn, so maybe they'd like to stay, but they can certainly take a profit if they sell. So if they just sell it,
nobody's
he'll have
relevant night. Besides Steve Cohen, though. I don't care who the minority owner is.
No, I don't either. I just can't believe
took 10
that that's,
seconds.
It was, that's, it was funny a, to me. I just
it
think
was
it's funny.
Parenthetical. Anyway. Right.
Don't you think that's funny, Ev? No?
Well, I knew about it, so it's
it
not funny.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Years ago when the Wilpons were trying to raise money. They tried to sell. Remember they were selling like small parts of the Mets?
Oh, yeah.
And basically it served no value.
Mike doesn't have a piece?
He may without us knowing. I got a suite out of it. You know, it's okay, whatever.
I'm hanging out with Scaramucci and Ma.
We're chilling. When are they going to approve him, John? Can it happen?
Yeah,
like
well,
next
November
week?
Is the date that's scheduled, but they can do it sooner if they want. They're going to vet him, and the issue is going to be the workplace situation. His company is being sued. He is not involved in any way, so I think it would be unlikely that they would nix him for that. So I think he's got a good chance. I've only heard of two owners that have disinclined to vote for him at this point. The Yankees are on board for him.
Nice.
I mean, you know, the teams.
Good job by Hal. I respect him.
Yeah,
they're not afraid.
They shouldn't be. Why should the Yankees be afraid of anything?
They may be in a bidding war with them.
It might cost them some money because
Hal actually realizes it's probably good for New York. Maybe.
Yeah, you know, Real Muto could be the first bidding war.
Oh, God.
You know, I was thinking Mets, Phillies. The Phillies are definitely going to be in. They love the guy, but the Mets need a catcher. And I don't know, the way this is going, I you know, I got to think the Yankees could be involved for a catcher. You know,
You know what? Joe has said the same thing, and I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't say that. But the reason why I still don't think that's going to happen is because I still think they love Gary Sanchez, and I think the first step before you get rid of him, because if you sign Real Muto, you're getting rid of him. I mean, let's face it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And this is my view, to bring in more stiffer competition, as opposed to having a true backup catcher. You know, maybe you bring in a guy who's capable of pushing Gary a little bit. Like, that would be my route instead of spending big money on Real Muto, because I'm going to want to spend big money on other pieces if I'm the Yankees down the road.
Yeah, I could see that. I do think they'll have the pitching. They should be okay with the pitching with Cole, with Severino, and maybe
Tanaka. Paxton's a free agent.
Tanaka's a free agent. They'll look at Tanaka. Now, Paxton, I have heard that he's unlikely to be back this year, so I don't know if they're going to re-sign him, but they'll try on Tanaka. But they're pretty good in terms of Davey Garcia's looking great so far, and Clark Schmidt's a possible. So they may not need to spend on pitching. I mean, it's not extraordinarily deep, and as we've learned again for the 100th time, that you do need pitching. Nothing wrong with having too much pitching. So, yeah, I would say Romero's not likely for them. I also don't think they really need a backup. I mean, certainly the day after their backup hit 3 home runs in a game, I'm going to say for now he's fine as the backup. I mean, he's got some power, obviously. So I don't see that as the issue. But I do think it's positive the Yankees are in favor of Cone, and I don't think that most teams are going to be afraid of the money. They're going to look at the big picture and not want to vote it down when they know how much it means to the Wilpons and Cats to get it done. Because we know that A-Rod has said that he'll bid the same $2.4 billion.
Yeah, and then give Jeff Wilpon all the power. Yeah, and then give Jeff all the power. Pass.
He can't be given any power to Jeff.
Pass.
Who is giving Jeff power?
A-Rod.
Oh, A-Rod. No. Right. I'm saying A-Rod, he has come out now. I mean, there's word out now that he would bid the same if Cone doesn't not get approved.
Yeah, but we've also
read. I mean, that would
be
foolish. I can't imagine. If Cone doesn't get approved, the value plummets. You know, at that point, why bid $2.4 billion? There's nobody else bidding $2.4 billion. To me, and I like Alex, but it looks like a PR stunt or something like that to say that. Why do that? I'm not in business, but at that point, the price plummets, and I think the other teams, they're more interested in the prices being kept up, the value of their franchises being kept up, than concern about Cone spending a lot for the players. And ultimately, that's the right way to go. That's the right thing to do, and I'm happy that the Yankees are in favor of Cone, and as are most teams.
Thank you, Hal, if you're listening.
We appreciate that they are in favor of that.
All right, very important question. The Cleveland Browns are laying 6 tonight at home against the Cincinnati Bengals Thursday Night Football.
The Browns are giving points?
Yes.
That seems unbelievable.
They're playing the Bengals.
They're playing the Bengals. Remember, the Bengals have the Joe Burrow,
the rookie quarterback. I heard they have a decent new quarterback.
Joe Burrow.
So right. Should they be favored? I mean, what are you saying? Should the Bengals be favored
in
this game?
Taking the Bengals in the points?
Yeah,
what
I'm taking
doing?
The Bengals. Of course I'm taking the Bengals.
Of course. Bengals
I'm
plus
betting
six.
On the Browns and laying points. Who would do that?
I understand. Okay. It makes a lot of sense, John.
Well, we'll see. I'm 1-0, guys. So you got to defer to me.
You did go with the Chiefs. That's true.
You did a great job. John, always a pleasure, man.
Pleasure, guys.
All the love, John.
John Heyman. I don't know why that's so funny to me. Just the voice of disgust that the Browns could even be favorites.
But
it does.
It is understandable, though. You know?
Look, the Jets would be favored at home against the Bengals.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Is anybody playing? Who's playing? They signed some running back. Did you see the Jets sign some running back we never heard of? Balazs. Who is this guy?
Oh, Kalen Balazs. They tried to trade for him 4 weeks ago. They traded a 7th round pick for him.
They got him now. I think he got him.
No, I know. They added him to the roster now. No, I know. But they actually tried
to trade for him. Gaze loves him.
Yeah, big Balazs. Gaze is a huge fan. No,
expect 30 carries for Balazs.
No, I'm expecting 30 from Frank Gore.
No,
That's what I'm expecting.
I know.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.